Blog Talk Radio.
To enhance your audio conferencing, please call 619-308-3636 for more information about these services. Please enter your passcode followed by the pound sign to join your call.
I'm sorry, a passcode is required to enter the conference. Please contact the moderator for additional information.
The operator, may I have your passcode?
33885 pound, please.
One moment.
Calling within God's words. She truly found God speaking to her to the poverty of other people. She truly found her calling in life. And as a young man, I remember growing up, and we used to always see photographs of her. And one thing that the teachers would always point out is, look at the size of this lady. It's not about the size of the person. It's about the heart and the fact that God's hand is working with her. And I remember when you look back and you see what it is that she created, there are over 610 missions in over 123 different countries from the work that she started as one person. And as we look for what it is that we want to create in our lives, many of us are looking for meaning. Many of us are looking for that meaning, and we're looking for a metaphor that truly can impact your life. And this is one of the most beautiful that I've ever read. This is one of the most impactful that I've ever seen. This is something that truly has moved Sylvie and I would love to share with you. And just think about what it is that I'm going to read to you, that she talks about how her life was guided. She said, "I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world." Let me read that one more time to everyone. I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world. We believe that we're all meant to write love on people's soul. Imagine as you go out into your day today and you think that you are that little pencil. In other words, as you go out today and you think about the thoughts, the actions, and that which you are going to do, and the impact that it's truly having is that you are writing love on people's soul. It will have you question and be more mindful of what it is that we're doing. You think of that beautiful canvas of the soul. You think of that delicate piece of our being, which we call our soul. And as we go out there and we think about, you know, what is it that I'm going to do today? When I spend time and I look at that person, if I believe that I'm truly writing on their soul, will it encourage me to have a brighter smile, to truly reach out in a hand of friendship and look into that person's eyes, which we all say is the window to the soul? That when we look to everyone that we engage with on a daily basis, as we live our life moment by moment, isn't it beautiful to think that what we are doing is I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who is sending a love letter to the world? Are we truly out there understanding that we are writing on people's souls and that's what we're doing? That's why we call it, you know, John Maxwell calls encouragement oxygen for the soul. Are we truly out there moment by moment doing this with everyone that we meet? I love further on in her life, she's been interviewed many times, and she talks about why it is that she has spent so much time with people with such extreme poverty. And I love what she wrote. She said, "The biggest disease today is not leprosy or tuberculosis, but rather the feeling of being unwanted." She said, "I can bring comfort to these people. And the comfort that I bring is comfort that I give to them when I help them. It's not just physical comfort, but truly understanding that they are not forgotten." She said, "I truly believe that we starve the soul when somebody feels that they have been forgotten. That we as human beings, as we go through our life, we get so preoccupied with everything else that we're doing that we forget the other people that we're enjoying this existence with together." She said, "I encourage everybody at every turn with every opportunity, not just to acknowledge those other people, but to encourage them, to truly be that helping hand that helps people feel wanted, to help people feel appreciated, to help people feel vital, to help people feel that they are not alone." Think about it today. How many opportunities will present themselves, particularly when we're mindful? Remember, with awareness comes responsibility. As we go through the day today, perhaps we can be a little bit more mindful. Perhaps we can look around and say, who here can I help them feel a little bit more wanted? Who here can I help them feel a little bit more appreciated? Who here can I actually give the gift of appreciation to, no matter where it is in my day? You know, she goes on and talks about this in great detail in her book, but I only want to share one more thought that it's on the same vein. She said, "Loneliness and the feeling of being unwanted is the most terrible poverty." In today's economy, we talk about the economy and the challenges that people are having. We talk about the challenges that people are having in terms of financial challenges. But understand, in an economy like this, people have a tendency, we all do, to have a tendency we think that we need to take care of ourselves, that we have a tendency to look inside ourselves and not look out to other people. There is a time when more people want to be made to feel vital, to feel that they're wanted. If we understand that being charitable is not just giving money, being charitable is not just giving time to charity. Being charitable is our opportunities that are presented to us every day of our lives. We can be charitable to ourselves, truly recognize the goodness that's within us, understand that we truly have God within us and there's great opportunities for us to give. You know, we can look to our partner in a more loving, giving, charitable way and truly understand that we're pouring love out into them, and it becomes that ripple effect that pours out into other people. The same with every interaction we have with our children, with our parents, with everybody that we meet, because everybody is looking for that connection. It helps us to have more meaning. It's not a tactic. It's not a strategy. It's a way to live one's life. When we understand it, it brings the greatest meaning to everything that we do. In fact, with every interaction, we understand that a ripple is taking place that's going out into the world. In fact, with every interaction, we understand that a little miracle is actually taking place. With every interaction, we understand that we are truly God's hand. With every interaction, we truly understand that we're impacting other people. With every interaction, we understand that people want to feel wanted. They wanted to feel loved. They want to feel appreciated. And truly, that's what God has put us on this planet to do. With every interaction, let's be mindful of it today. And the last point I want to say is this. What comes from the heart goes to the heart. What comes from the heart goes to the heart. Let's today choose to be a little bit more open. Let's today choose to be a little bit more generous, not just of our time, but of our money, but with our heart. Let's choose to go out there and truly share love and appreciation with everyone else. Let's choose to be out there, and instead of just looking inside of ourselves and be thinking about the challenges and things we need to take care of ourselves, let's take our mind, let's take our heart, and let's take our focus and put it outside of us. Let's imagine that our life is like Mother Teresa shared it. I am a little pencil in the hand of a writing God who was sending a love letter to the world. We are meant to write love on people's souls. What letter are you going to write today? Have a God-filled, beautiful, gorgeous day today. We love every single one of you. Write beautiful letters today. Have a beautiful day. God bless you. Cheers. Thank you very much. Cheers, everybody. Have a great day.
Have a terrific day.
Have a gorgeous day, everybody.
Beautiful day, God.
Have a gorgeous day, everybody.
Bye. Well, as usual, a great message to start the day with. You know, Matt, we talk often about the power of a positive frame of mind. And I think there's nothing more powerful in a positive frame of mind than the ability to project that love and inspiration on others.
No, 100%. I couldn't agree more with that. It's, the old phrase that says, do unto others as you want done to yourself is, so if you pour love out of your heart and show people you care and show people, that there's more to life than what's going on around them, then big things can happen. It's crazy.
No, you're absolutely right. Yeah, and I think Mother Teresa's message is a very powerful message, when you think about it. It also goes hand in hand with something that Jim Rohn teaches, and the fact that so many people are caught up with what other people might think, and the emphasis is on might think, and they're initially frozen or embarrassed to try and get involved in our industry. Yet, how many people will actually mourn at your funeral? And you look at the lives of people like Mother Teresa and Princess Diana, who made their lives about giving to others with no real expectation of any kind of getting something back from it. And how many people turned out and mourned for their funerals?
Record numbers.
Yeah, it's absolutely mind-boggling, because it's all about the amount of love that they put out into the world and had no expectation of getting it back. It was just freely given to others. And in doing so, they changed a lot of people's lives. They empowered and enriched so many other people's lives with the message of love that they sent out. It's not even funny. There's an old expression, and off the top of my head, I don't remember where it comes from right now, but if you've got to give it away in order to get it back. And that's not just about money. It's about literally everything in life. If you give it away freely, it will come back to you tenfold. It goes hand in hand with the age-old adage of you reap what you sow. I think my partner's a little distracted this morning.
No, not at all, Jim. Sorry, I didn't know if Troy was on the line with us this morning or not.
I don't think Troy is with us this morning.
Okay.
Man.
Sorry, Rose from corporate had just given me a call, so I had muted out. Continue. I'm focused and plugged in, Jim. I apologize.
It's okay. I understand. We've got a very powerful message in the word of love in my mind, when you think about it, with everything that we have to offer with the business. And when I say the business, I'm talking about whoever is doing whatever business that they're involved with, because the business of network marketing is a gift. It's ironic, because I had a friend a couple weeks ago who I hadn't seen in quite a while. We ran into each other at Walmart, and the first question that he asked me is, are you still doing that network marketing thing? And my knee-jerk response was to say, are you still doing that Army thing? And he looks at me and says, well, yeah, I've got, a number of years left before I can retire. Why wouldn't I be? I said, well, you just answered my question. Why wouldn't I be? Because I truly believe that what we have to offer people is a gift of empowerment. It's a gift of enlightenment, because I don't know of a single form of business or free enterprise that exists that gives a person more control and more power over whom they choose to partner with and how they can transform the lives of others as what exists within our business. And when I say our business, I'm talking about the network marketing business model, because I've gotten in the mindset where anymore, if anybody asks me if I'm talking to them, you know, is this network marketing? Without hesitation, I smile and say, you bet it is. I wouldn't be involved with it if it wasn't. Because you see, folks, I'm sorry, Matt, let me finish this train of thought real quick and then you can jump in. I believe with all my heart that this is a gift that we're giving to someone that gives them the possibility of being financially free and having the time freedom to live a self-directed life. And that's why I give freely of time, products, samples, information, without really worrying about whether they're going to take action or not. Go ahead, Matt. I apologize. I didn't mean to. I just wanted to.
No, not at all. And you know, you mentioned, you know, the love and the outpouring, you know, Princess Diana and a lot of people in the world, you know, talk about. And I was reading some, you know, I do a lot of reading. I was reading Seven Secrets of Extremely Prosperous People by Robert G. Allen, one of my very first mentors here in the industry, actually, that actually helped me become very successful. And, you know, there's a principle in there called the Rockefeller Rules, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with that. You know, it basically says, you know, you want to work for all you get, give away the first 10%, pay yourself the next 10%, and live on the rest, and account for every penny. And what do they mean by that? Well, they recommend, you know, you give away the first 10% of what you're earning to charity, because what you give away will come back tenfold on the backside. And it totally makes sense to, you know, as far as helping in the love for others is getting out and doing just that. And people, you know, you mentioned it the other day, and it, you know, a lot of wars could have been won with just, you know, just a spool of ribbon or whatnot. It's amazing what can happen.
Oh, you're absolutely right. The concept of giving things away to enrich other people's lives is linked to one of the comments of one of my all-time favorite authors, and that's John Maxwell. And the expression is, and I know you've heard me say this probably, you know, 1,000 times if you've heard it once, and that is that no one cares how much you know until they know how much you care. And one of the ways to share with people how much you care and show that to them is to give freely of your time, because let's face it, our time is our most valuable, irreplaceable asset that we possess in the universe. You know, we can always make more money. We can always buy more stuff. We can always find a way to do more things. But when the sands have slipped through the sands of time have slipped through the hourglass, they will never, and I do mean never, be replaced. You can't do it.
No, I mean, everybody is given, you know, an equal amount of time. It's just a matter of what you choose to do with that time and you know, taking action in whatever you're choosing to do. I mean, people waste a lot of time in front of the TV. People waste a lot of time doing menial things that aren't necessarily going to, you know, help them move forward in life. And, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV. I'll watch the Weather Channel, and I don't even like to watch the news at all because it's all negative. But there's just no time for TV in my household except for when my daughter's around. And then we're watching, you know, movies and different things like that. So everybody's given the same amount of time. And I forget the breakdown. I don't know if you remember it off the top of your head. 24 hours in the day, how many minutes and how many seconds. I forget those numbers. But we're all given the same amount of time. It's just a matter of how you apply it.
Exactly. And you know, you bring up a very valid point, Matt, and that's the fact that every one of us all start the day with 86,400 seconds at the stroke of midnight we start over with. And it never ceases to amaze me how some people, successful people,
managed to get so much more accomplished in that same time frame than unsuccessful people do, who are constantly complaining about how busy they are. Yet they're allowing things to manipulate the time in their life that are not going to pay dividends or pay rewards to them in any way. There's a video presentation online that was done by a friend of ours, Tim Sales. He's one of the co-authors of the book, It's Time for Network Marketing. And Tim did a video presentation that talked about the concept of where your time goes. And it's something, if you do a Google search on Tim Sales on YouTube, you will find a multitude of videos there. But one of the ones that he talks about is talking about the myth of failure. And the myth of failure as it relates to network marketing. There are people who go into literally all different types of businesses and ventures and sporting endeavors, you name it. And the ones that succeed, I'm just going to do a short rendition of what Tim presents in his video, but the ones that succeed are the ones that choose to succeed. The ones that start out with anything they do in life start out with the mentality, I'll try, because there is no try. If you think about it, when you try something, when you give yourself permission to try it, it's like going to the restaurant and you want to try something new. When you try it, you're giving yourself permission not to like it or to quit. If you go into something with your eyes wide open, with a heart full of love, and the idea that you're going to pay it forward with people, you can't help but be successful. We're coming up on about 7 minutes left on the show, Matt, so let's start wrapping this up a little bit, and I'm going to turn it over to you for a minute.
Well, you know, we talked about, you know, what a person does with time, right? And time management is absolutely essential in this industry, if you ask me. I mean, some people can, and what you do with that time, obviously, is, you know, a lot of people can be doing busy work, a lot of people can be doing, you know, a lot of things with their time, you know, but the key in network marketing, in what we're doing and building relationships, doing for others, is obviously to meet people. And so, I mean, like, for instance, I'll just give you a brief synopsis of my day. I've been up since 8 a.m. this morning. I've done some reading in, you know, The Magic of Thinking Big by David J. Schwartz. Phenomenal book, by the way, if you haven't picked it up. And, you know, I've been labeling DVDs and magazines, and I've got 3 appointments set for today to meet with new people, business people in my city, and present opportunity for, you know, what I do for my primary network marketing company. Then I'm going to go pick up my daughter at school. We're going to have a barbecue dinner. And, you know, pretty much my day is mapped out exactly what I'm going to be doing. And the interim is going to be some, you know, a little bit of spring yard work that needs to be done. But, you know, that's the beautiful part about having that 30-second commute from my bedroom to my office is I can map my day out so it's very productive, you know, with self-help first thing in the morning, feed the mind. And, you know, that's sort of how I choose to fill my time today. Tomorrow will be another, you know, the day will be mapped out. And, you know, I choose to maximize my time. And,
you're keyed on a very interesting fact, though, that a lot of our listeners may have missed. And that's the difference in investing time versus spending time. Not just with the way you've mapped your life out, but the way that you spend it with people as well. Because people are truly our most irreplaceable asset, as far as, you know, second only to time, mind you, because what we invest in people will pay rewards. It leverages our time. And if there's one way to recapture or generate more time, it's by investing that time in people so that they can be doing activities that are similar to what you're doing and sharing that investing that with other people, giving that love unconditionally to other people to help other people grow and change and become better so that society can become better. You know, I've heard over the years, I hear people all the time say they wish they could make the world a better place and something to that effect. But yet, the truth of the matter is, we all have the power to do that. We all have the power to make the world a better place, one person at a time, by investing. And I love what you said about the way you started your day. I do mine slightly differently. I read at night before I go to bed, and I feed my mind before I go to bed at night, so that while I'm sleeping, my mind is going and mulling over all the things that I put into it. But there's absolutely nothing wrong with feeding your mind first thing in the morning either. They're the two best times that you can possibly feed your mind. And if you're not taking the time to feed your mind and invest in yourself, how can you be of true benefit to anybody else? Because after all, folks, let's face it, if you can't do something for yourself, what good are you to anyone else?
And by the way, folks, if you don't like to read, go to YouTube or Viddler or Google Videos. There's a whole plethora of self-help and, you know, even audio books and videos and Jim Rohn. I mean, there's tons of stuff out there. So if you don't like to read, then you can do videos. But Jim, I just wanted to go back to something here. You know, we talked about spending time with people. A lot of people say, well, you know, I only know so many people. But in this book I was reading this morning, and this is a phenomenal, it talks about meeting new people. Here are six ways to win friends by exercising just a little initiative. You know, there's six of them. I'm going to run through them real fast. Introduce yourself to others at every possible opportunity, at parties, meetings, on airplanes, at work, everywhere you are. Be sure the other person gets your name straight. That's number two. Number three, be sure you can pronounce the other person's name the way they pronounce it. Very important. Write down the other person's name and be mighty sure you spelled it correctly. People have a fetish about the correct spelling of their own names, and if possible, get his address and phone number too while you're at it. Number five, drop a personal note. Or actually, let's go back to number four. One of the things I do to remember names is the minute that I meet the person's name, as I'm still shaking their hand, I repeat their name quietly to my subconscious 10 times, and I have very rarely have forgotten a name. It works very well, by the way. Number five, drop a personal note or make a phone call to the new friends that you feel you want to know better. This is an important point. Most successful people follow through on new friends with a letter or phone call. Remember, folks, you choose who you hang out with, and you are who you hang out with. Hang out with successful people, hang out with like-minded people, and you will become that person or the people that you want to be. And number six, at last but not least, say pleasant things to strangers. It warms you up and gets you ready for the task ahead. And it caps out with, you know, putting these six rules to work is really thinking right about people. To be sure, it's not the way the average person thinks. Mr. Average never takes the initiative in making introductions. He waits for the other person to introduce himself first. Take the initiative. Be like the successful. Go out of your way to meet people, and don't be timid. Don't be afraid to be unusual. Find out who the other person is, and be sure that they know who you are. And, you know, go out of the way, and I'll turn it back over to you with this. But I was at a seminar way back in the early 1990s. I think it was called Basic Building Blocks to Success, or maybe it was Creating a Perpetual Money Machine. I forget exactly which training I had attended at that point in time. But, it, you know, one of the things was, or challenges per se, is, Jim, what does everybody do when they get in an elevator?
They all turn and look at their feet for the most part.
Stand there, look at the door, and look at your feet. So the challenge put out by this presenter and trainer was, next time you walk into an elevator, turn around, face everybody, say, hey, how's everybody doing? And look at the horrified looks on people's faces for a giggle. And you know how many times I've done that? It's hilarious. But if, you know what? It breaks tension. The people that are more outgoing will speak up, say hello. You'll get smirks and crack smiles, and there'll be that one or two people in the crowd that'll just be horrified that you even did it. It's hilarious.
Yep. Well, listen, my friend, it's time to say goodbye this morning, and we will be back with more Radio for Your Mind tomorrow morning. And for the foreseeable future, on a five-day-a-week basis, from 8 until 8:15 Mountain Time, 9 to 9:15 Central Time, every day with Radio for Your Mind. We hope you have a terrific day. Go out and show some unconditional love to people and see how it'll change the world around you.
Have a great day, Jim. Thank you.